As I was preparing last night for this morning, I was having trouble. I was talking with Debbie, and we were reading certain psalms, and one psalm came to mind, and I read another one, and the first one came back, and then I read another one, and then Psalm 100 came back, and I always kept coming back to Psalm 100. And I wondered why. But it's a great psalm, and we're going to read it here in just a minute. But this morning, the Lord gave me a little bit of insight. I don't know about you guys, but I've always wondered what it would be like when we first enter into heaven. And what was it like when Debbie Jo entered into eternity and saw Jesus for the first time? And I was so encouraged because the Lord said, I want you to read Psalm 100. And the thing is, it's not just for us when we get into eternity, but because we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can walk in this psalm every single day. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And his faithfulness to all generations. May we remember that every day when we wake up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. And we thank you, Lord, that we serve such an awesome God. We cannot even begin to fathom how wonderful and how great you are. But we thank you also that our Lord Jesus Christ paid a price for us that we could never pay. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that now lives in us and dwells in us and teaches us. And he had the power to bring Jesus back to life so that we could be made right with you. Amen.
Amen. Well, this first song goes along with what you're saying, that the greatest day in history is the day that Christ saved us. Isn't that right? When we were made new creatures, and that allowed us, or does allow us, that when we do pass, that we will be able to go into heaven with him, the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Greatest day in history, death and things, and you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. Alive. He's alive.
Worship and bow down.
Mighty to save. forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Thank you for conquering the grave today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descend. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praising my Savior.
Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we do praise you, praising our Savior all the day long. Oh, Lord Jesus, in the trials and the struggles, in the triumphs and the success, Lord Jesus, we look to you and we worship you. We thank you for meeting us right where we are and helping us along the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just pray blessing on the rest of the service. May the words that are said be your words. We give you praise in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you. You are awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. We're very glad that you are here. A couple things just to make mention. Mark, did you mention about Sue Burgers? Okay. A couple quick things that I want to mention. For those of you who didn't receive, oh, I know that some folks didn't receive my text. Don't receive my text. And I think we've narrowed it down to if you're on a Verizon carrier, that we've got about 12 or 15 people in here so far that don't get those texts every week. And if you're also on a Verizon character. Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Okay. Oh. We're 100% until that happened. Okay, well, okay. So, anyways, so just so you know, Debbie Jo, our awesome sister, if you knew her super well, and you'd like to come, there's a little memorial get together that we're having over at Sue Berger's house, 3 p.m. After church today. There's no obligation for anybody to come, so don't feel pressured. You know, our sister Debbie Jo loved the Lord. And, you know, she came out of I don't think she would mind us saying this, a very drug-filled lifestyle of many years, and she loved our Savior. God did an amazing thing in her life, and so I know she's with our Lord, and there's no more tears in her eyes, and all that pain is gone, and she's with our Lord forever. And so, but this is just a little reunion service that we're having. And so, but if you'd like to be a part of that, it's at Sue Berger's house. If you want to just ask somebody else here who's on our text chain or myself, but we have all the information, the address and the phone number. Again, that's 3 p.m. Bring a side dish to share if you'd like to come. But again, there's no pressure. Yes, Martha. She would always sit. Yeah, she'd usually sit in the front. Although the last few months she was feeling really sick, and so she was moving in the back there. She had the blonde hair. I tried to get a picture up there on the screen, but I couldn't get it off my phone. Yeah, she was kind of sort of a Tennessee accent. Whenever she'd read, she'd like, "Pastor Darren, I just want to say." Yeah. Awesome.
She was that way in the prayer group on Sunday mornings too.
Absolutely. She's a wonderful, special, super lady. And we're going to take a minute. And you know what I know that she would like more than anything else is this body praying for her daughter, amen, Maddie. And we won't get into any of the details with that. But I know that's what she would want us to do. And so we're going to take a minute to pray for her and for her salvation. And so we're going to do that right now. Father God, I just want to say thank you for our sister Debbie Jo. Thank you that she had a heart to serve, a heart to pray, a heart to love you, Lord God. Thank you for rescuing her literally out of the pit, Lord God. You put her on the solid rock, and Lord, now she's with you forever, Lord. Thank you for making that change in her heart, in her mind, in her life, Lord God. Lord, right now we lift up Maddie, Lord, and we pray for her salvation, Lord. Break through any falsities, Lord. I don't even want to get into all that, but you know exactly what she needs. Bring salvation to her heart, to her home, in Jesus' name, Lord. We also pray right now for healing for our sister Chantel, who's in the hospital. We pray for her. We pray for St. Victor, Lord, with his foot, Lord, for Marsh and Jim, Lord, and the dialysis, Lord. There's so many needs, Lord. You know each one of them, Lord. Would you personally heal and minister to each person that needs it today. Lord, you are the great physician. Lord, you are the great healer. Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha. So, Lord, we just pray for that healing, Lord, your wave of healing over each person. Lord, whether they're here today or not, we ask you to heal them, Lord, and to raise them up in Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. You also might have noticed, too, that there is some new flooring in the back. Isn't that amazing? Woo-woo! And the Lord just put it upon. Listen, if you're ever looking for us, Gary, or Gary's not here today, but Gary or myself or somebody to be asking you to do a lot of stuff, you know what? We're probably not going to do that because we don't want anybody to feel roped into stuff or manipulated. You know what I'm saying? We're very real here. But if you feel something on your heart, bring it up. We'll support you like 1,000,000,000%. We'll be behind you. So if God's moving in your heart, so somebody's like, you know what? The floor back there looks really terrible. And you know what? It did look really terrible. But the neat thing is they didn't leave it at that. You know how people can be like point out all the flaws but never lend a hand to help? You know what I'm saying? Well, this church needs a bigger building. Well, yeah, we do. Do you tithe? No. You know what I'm saying? So I was talking with Vicky, and Vicky's like, those floors really need to be. Have you thought about doing it? Well, of course we thought about it. You know what? And so Miss Vicky gave a little push, and then Dale and Madison said, you know what? We'll donate all that time. We'll put down all that flooring for free. In Jesus' name. That's what the family does. So, and then. And we might even be going further. So pray, if you'd like to help with that, going further. So some of these stains, you might say goodbye to them. This might be the last couple weeks. Thank you, Lord. Also, is Sophie here today? Can I give you the mic? We were going to have, I didn't get the message till, actually, I got here a few minutes ago. And so Asdaline, I think, is going to share her mission story next week. So it gives her a little bit more time to prepare and no pressure. That's what she wants. Okay. So we're going to go through a few announcements. And then, oh, we should also pray for Mom. Lord, help me remember that for next week, please. Okay, so a couple things just so I don't forget. Because you know I'm ADD or ADHD or I don't even know, I forget. So we've got free Panera loaves, you know, in the back. So please take dessert. Please take bread loaves, friends, family. It's all a gift, free in Jesus' name. We'll give you the bread of life, Jesus Christ, but also we give you the free bread from Panera. We're not going to take up tithes and offerings. Again, you can put them in the back. There's a little bird box. He provides for all of our needs. So please put your tithes, put your offerings back there. Paul Cowley, you know what? I'm going to mention them. We're missionaries. I talked to him. He was in town this week. I'm going to wait till next week to talk about that. We also have CYIA here and a sports camp. If anyone wants to get involved, okay, it's July 22nd to the 26th. Okay, it's going to be all week long, and it's going to be from 9 a.m. To 3 p.m., and they're going to be running different sports here. And then also, the Christian Youth in Action. Well, you got to see Olivia up here. Did anybody record Olivia? Oh, did you? Wow, thank you. Yeah, good. Excellent. Okay, and Hezekiah, too. I know Chantel said she recorded it, and she had like 30 people watch it. So I just want to get those both on the church website. But anyway, if you have kids and you'd like to come out with that, the second part from 1 to 3 is absolutely free. But if you want to join the sports camp, and it's we're going to have a bunch of the kids from the church and the school here, it's $85, but that'll go all week long from 9 to 3 p.m., and that will include lunch and snacks and drinks and games, and it'll just be a great time. So just talk to Jamie Morphis. Her number's up there if you want to click it. Or yeah, come see Miss Lisa if you have any questions on that at all. But we're just going to be sharing Christ all day long from 9 to 3 in everything. And so it should be a really great time. So sign up for that July 22nd to the 26th. Also, baptism. I know we just baptized a bunch of people. And so just about a month and a half ago. But we were at a Bible study, Forgotten God, and somebody said, we weren't even talking about baptism, but the Holy Spirit just kind of came upon this person. and said, just started kind of tearing up and saying, I need to get baptized. I need to get baptized. And then Diane, I don't know if many of you know Diane, our Canadian friend. She came up after church last service and she said, Pastor Darren, I just want to talk to you. It's kind of one of those things where you, it's one of those. So we sat down. She's like, the last couple times you've had a baptism, I've been very convicted by the Lord. I grew up in the church, but you know what? I was never really committed to him. I realize now after I've been coming here and listening to the word, I wasn't really saved. I wasn't really following him. Now I am. And he's been convicting me to get baptized and I've been too scared to do it. And I said, oh, honey, that's okay. He goes, I just want to let you know I'm not going to be here this Sunday. If you could all take a moment and pray for me, I'm going to go up to my dad's church where he got baptized. And I said, that's okay. So I want to take a minute to pray for her, but I wanted to know, is there anyone else who wants to get baptized and wants to make that public profession? Okay, another one. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. Daryl, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Okay. Victor, yep. Daryl, three. Fantastic. Anyone else who wants to make that profession to the Lord? That's the next thing. It's an outward symbol of an inward change, right? Okay. Praise the Lord. I love it. All right. We'll talk to you about that. Okay, so, Lord, what are you doing? This is awesome. So we have four people there want to make that public profession of faith. That's fantastic. Okay, so do you guys want to do it at the beach or the pool?
The beach.
Okay, that just means, that you know what, actually that works out great because that means lots of extra work for Gary and Mark and Nate. So that's wonderful. I'm sorry. That should have been in my head. I'm so sorry. You know what? But we're happy to do it. So we'll figure out a date and we'll do that. Okay. Sounds good. Meanwhile, pray for these wonderful people who just got baptized a month and a half ago. Do not stop praying for them. Because the enemy hits you hardest when you start taking steps of faith. Isn't that true? Okay. That's our sermon for the day. Okay. I guess I better start going. Move along. Okay. Prayer, Sunday mornings, 9, here. Talk to Joel and Heidi or Mark or Gary. We'd love to have you with us. Men's Bible study, first and third Tuesdays. Since Gary's not here, he asked me to tell you something. It was show up.
Don't forget.
We're having pulled pork. I remember that. That's sad. And I think we're going to start a new book, the Book of Corinthians. So, guys, if you haven't come out yet, come on out, pull pork in the Word of God, come on. Okay, so that's this Tuesday. Women's Bible study is on the second and fourth Tuesdays. If you want to join that, woo-woo! I heard that's been going fantastic. And so if you want and you still want to come out, Erica, would you just raise your hand? Right there. See Miss Erica Weaver, Flo somewhere, I know back there, raise your little hand back there. See one of those two ladies, they'll get you a workbook, and they even provide childcare. So there's really no excuse. Come on out and join us. Although they don't have pulled pork like the men do. Youth group. Oh, wait a minute. I'm so sorry. Josh and Amanda and all the youth, they ripped up all the carpet and they moved everything out of here. You guys did an amazing job. Amazing. So anyway, Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., Josh and Amanda Panda. They should. You know what? We're going to order some shirts. In fact, it's in production right now. I know. Don't get me started. That's a 30-minute conversation. All right. Forgotten God. Mark, you told me something not to forget. And there you go. Are we meeting this week or not?
No.
Okay.
4th of July.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Skipping this week. Okay, fine. Thank you so much. And Gary said we're going to be probably doing the Experiencing God right after this, but he's not here, so we'll skip that. Okay, Shepherd's Art Christian School. Again, if you want to join the school, we had multiple new families signing up to the school. So if you want to join us, man, please, 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 now's the time to enroll. We can even share with you how to get scholarships. You got to do some work, but if you'll do some work, you can get those scholarships, and they'll last for the rest of the child's life. So there you go. All right, we are in the book of James. So open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. I hate this thing.
Oh.
Somebody is going to have to tell me how to use this thing. Okay. I did, but it's not working for me. It's probably something simple, and Nate will get it in 2 seconds because he's amazing, and your pastor is a knucklehead when it comes to anything mechanical, technical. That's what I... I did do that. Okay, fine, whatever. Okay, talk to the hand. Thank you, Nate, for embarrassing me in front of everyone. No, you did great. Yes. All right, if you need a Bible, the kind-hearted Chris will deliver one to you. If he hasn't already, raise your hand. Raise your paw. Okay, so we just got done with James chapter 3, talking about taming the tongue. We just got done with James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, that talked about two paths of wisdom. If you missed that, please listen to it online, because that is very important. There's two roads that we can take. There's a way that seems right to us in our fleshly thinking and our human thinking, but in the end it leads to death, the Bible says. Charles Stanley said that earthly wisdom is doing what comes naturally, and godly wisdom is doing what the Holy Spirit compels us to do, what God's word tells us to do. There's a big difference. And so there's like, if you remember eating at two tables, you are what you eat. If you're going to feed yourself the good things, God's word and his spirit and those things, you're going to grow in that. If you're going to feed yourself man's wisdom, you're going to grow, and that's going to lead to death, and one's going to lead to life here and for eternity. There's a big difference. We talked about loving wisdom, like a family member, like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. We talked about eating wisdom, like honey. And if you find it, godly wisdom we're talking about, there's a future hope for you and you won't be cut off. And if you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you liberally. That's our God. And I'm going to speed through some of these, because in Jesus Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom. And we talked about thinking about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, because we died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And we talked about the fruit of a godly life, of godly wisdom. And just really quickly, it's pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And then the fruit of that righteous life is peace. Now we're going to discover the other half, because you know in the original there was no chapter break. It just kind of went on. It's talking about, hey, godly wisdom is going to lead to this peace. It's going to lead to purity, to sincerity, to all these good things now and forevermore. And then it kind of continues in chapter 4, and it talks about something very different. And it talks about kind of, if you go the worldly route, the unrighteous, he's talking about the stuff left unchecked in our hearts. It causes war. So James chapter 4, I entitled it War and Peace. Okay, hopefully we won't take as long to get through. But, thanks. Not as long as reading the book. Thank you so much. So, James chapter 4, you know, it says, what causes these wars and fights among us? You know, when I think about the wars in our hearts and our sin-filled nature and mankind, listen, you've got a bunch of yucky stuff in your heart apart from God's Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor Darren. I'm a teacher. I'm a mom. Well, you don't understand. I'm a wife. Well, you don't understand. I'm a pastor. Well, I would say, you don't understand. We have a terrible sin nature. Apart from Christ Jesus, this nature is going to lead us in the wrong direction. When we talk about wars, and we're going to talk about what causes these fights and these quarrels and these wars among us, you know, we're going to talk about that. But globally, you know, I looked this up online from the New York Times, and globally they said, what is war? And they defined it, war is defined as an active conflict that took at least, claimed more than 1,000 lives, okay? Does that make sense? So for history, now, the question was, has the world ever been at peace? And so they recorded 3,400 years recorded world history on wars, okay? Obviously, it's been longer, but that's when they've recorded world history. And it says that human beings have been at peace for only 268 of them, or just 8% of all recorded history. That means that 92% of all recorded world history, mankind has been at war with each other. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's not including wars that took 1,000 lives or less. So can I just be blunt honest with you? Pretty much, I think that's going to... We just went from 92% to 100%. See, sometimes, you know, I'll get these calls. Oh, our world is so beautiful and so peaceful, and they're coming into college, and we just want everything to be green and love the... You know. And you know what? And here's the deal. Listen. That's not reality. Because we're selfish individuals. We're self-centered individuals. Listen to what even psychologists... And we're going to go... This is what Sigmund Freud said, okay? He says, this is what he said, okay? The father of, you know, modern psychoanalysts. What causes fighting? You ready for this? His big, I want what I want when I want it. But isn't that true? This is the central driving force within every single human being. Now, the fun thing about this is this was an amazing discovery to the world. I want what I want when I want it. The Bible's been telling us that since the beginning. Who knew? There's actually wisdom in that book. Huh. But there is. Let's read. Oh, I got to tell you this too. Okay. Now, maybe I'll read it. Okay, let's read the first few verses and then we'll go over it. Okay. Can you hit the lights for just a minute, Chris? I don't know how many verses we're going to get through, so I'll just read maybe the first four verses. Thank you, Chris. It goes and says, and again, your translation might say something a little different, what causes wars, but what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive it because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Verse 4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Zoinkarama. I haven't seen that on a bumper sticker. But yet, it is true, and it is in the Word of God. So, you know, a lot of people will say, you know I always use the same voice when Pastor Darren, I just wish we can get back to the early church. You know, and here's what they mean by that. Their heart intent is right, okay? Here's what they mean when they say that. I want to get back to the early church. Here's what they mean. They mean, I want to just get back to just Jesus. You know, we don't have, not that we couldn't ever have it, but we don't have, you know, I was talking with a family and they were going to be joining the school. And they're like, oh, do you guys have like laser lights and smoke machines? And I was like, you know what? We're really not like that. We're very real. We're very down to earth. Good. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. I was like, oh, great. They want to just get back to Jesus, to his heart and his word and spirit. That's what they're talking about. But sometimes people can kind of romanticize a little bit. Like, what if we just got back to the early church? There'd be no more fighting. And there's this impression that somehow everybody just walked around after Jesus rose and ascended into heaven. And all the Christians just flittered around in perfect love and in perfect unity. Flitter, flitter, flitter. But you know what? Honestly, that is a total misnomer, and I get it. We can kind of romanticize, but that's not reality. In fact, when I look at Scripture, and Psalm 133 does say this, and this is true, and I love this. We've got a really fantastic church here. Now, by and large, most people here get along with one another. Oh, you might not like the way this person does this, or I do, but you know what? There's a real love here. That goes beyond feelings, right?
Yes.
Because sometimes somebody's sitting in your seat. And I can see how you look. Even you're a Christian. Well, I'll let you get away with it this time. But next week. But listen. When we think of like the early church. And we think of these things. the scripture says, and I love this, in Psalm 133, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity." It is a beautiful thing. It honestly is. And that is the standard for us. That's what God wants us to attain. Now, here's the deal. It wasn't always like that. It isn't always like that now because there's people growing in the Lord and they're stubbing their toe and they're falling over and they're... Listen to this. I'll just give you a couple scripture verses. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. You know, even in families, listen, we're the best dysfunctional family going. But even in families, there can be strife. I even think of even bad strife. I think, you remember Joseph, the story of Joseph? Do you remember Joseph's brothers? Way back in Genesis? Do you remember what they did to him? They threw him down a well, sold him into slavery. Oh, you're the fave, are you? Bye. David's family. Thank you. How about Absalom? You remember him, David's son? He wanted what he wanted. He wanted the kingdom. He wanted the recognition. And what did he do? He went at war with his dad. You see what I'm saying? That's the Old Testament. How about, if you think about it, how about in the New Testament? You know, I think about the disciples. If you look in Luke chapter 9, 46 and 48, you remember what they were arguing about as they walked around the road? Who is going to be the best servant? Did they do that? Who's going to be the most giving and loving? Were they arguing about that, if you remember? What were they arguing about a lot? Who's going to be the greatest? Where is the focus in that? Me is the opposite of we. Hey, let me write that down. Anyway, so think about that. And when you think about like the Corinthian church, do you remember most of Paul's letters were corrective? Do you know what I mean? Like in other words, people were screwing up. And Paul's like, dude, you can't do that. Sexual immorality in the church, knock it off. What, you're pushing and shoving at the church service? At communion? Seriously? You're getting drunk? What? I mean, this is real stuff that he wrote about. You're suing one another in court? Stupid stuff. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 6 and 14. Listen to this. The Galatians, what a neat church. But this is what he wrote to them. He said, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you're going to destroy each other. I like how the Living Bible puts it, okay? I know it's a pretty gruesome thing, but that's what it is. When you're backbiting one another, when you're gossiping about one another, when you're slandering one another, when you're talking about one of his God's kids. Stop doing that. Listen, nobody's perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Right? Cut it out. And if you see me doing it, you can just say, you know, Pastor Dan, I don't know if that's so. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Don't make me embarrass you in front of the... No. He says, but if instead of showing... This is in Galatians 5:15 in the Living Bible. But if instead of showing love among yourselves, you're always critical and catty, watch out. Beware of ruining each other. Don't do that. Listen, maybe God's giving you the discernment and you can see where things people need help or churches need help or ministry needs help. Do you know why he's shown you that? Do you think he's shown you that just so you can be critical and downplay a person or a ministry? Why is he showing you that?
So you can help.
Yes! So you can help. That means you get your hands dirty. That means you do some work. That means you make it better. That's why God has you here. Capiche? You guys could be like little former Italians, little young Italians. I'm so proud. Even in Ephesians, he had to talk about, hey, guys, you need to be more unified. In Ephesians chapter 4, there were women who were fighting and they were having factions in the church. It was crazy. It was nuts. And we just read in James chapter 3, here's why. When you have that ungodly wisdom and you're focusing on the world, it says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, listen, the key word here, self. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Listen, you're going to find it too, even amongst God's people and in churches. Sometimes because you've got false brothers. Sometimes because you've got selfish, self-centered individuals. Yucky. Don't be that way. Listen, when it says what causes fights and what causes quarrels among you, I'm going to hit the light for a second. Thanks, Chris. In verse 1 of chapter 4, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? Can I tell you one thing I noticed about that verse? If you underline that word, I don't know if any of you have something else, but don't they come from the desires, or some of your Bibles might say lusts, right, that battle within you? Is that right? Okay. James chapter 4, verse 1. Don't they, what causes these fights and quarrels? They actually come from the desires that battle within you. That word, desires, that's a strong word. It's hedone in the Greek. Okay? And it means selfish pleasures. It means selfish lusts, self-centered pleasures. It's where we get the word hedone, hedonist. You know what a hedonist is? It's a person who lives for pleasure, for self-pleasures. And what is good for me? But I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. You know, there's a lot of good pleasures in this life. I find a lot of pleasure when I'm watching this is my biggest joy, honestly, is watching you grow in the Lord. Watching you, Leslie, just because you're right in front of me, sorry, that's what happens. Okay. Leslie, you being at a baptism for someone else, and then you saying, I want to get baptized. Right there. I didn't even think you were, I wanted to stop, let's take more time. No, please, Pastor, let me get baptized right now. And we have seen nothing but growth in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect, right? Right. But I can tell you, everybody around you can see change in your life, even over the past year or two. That's amazing. The biggest thing, I get so much pleasure out of that. That brings me so much joy in my spirit and my heart when I watch you grow, or your kids grow in the Lord, or you fall, or maybe, hey, Flo, Erica, you're teaching a Bible study. Step up. Hey, you're going to a Bible study. Step up. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? I get a lot of pleasure with hanging. I love to have breakfast with my kids. I love to spend time with them. I get a lot of pleasure from that. I love to go on a date night. Get a lot of pleasure from going on a date night with my wife. Having some sushi. Get a lot of pleasure from that. That may be a little selfish in that one. So we can, pleasure isn't bad. Even the Lord says, listen, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. That's Psalm 149:4. Or this one. It says in Psalm 116:11, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Man, so it's not all bad, but this word, when it says what causes these fights and quarrels among you, it's those desires, that hedonistic, that pursuit of self-pleasure, that self-indulgence, the theory that pleasing yourself or happiness is the highest goal and aim of human life. And it's not. Listen, that word, that same word there, that says what causes fights and quarrels among you in verse 1, don't they come from the desires that battle within you? That same word, desires, is the same word that Jesus used when he shared the parable of the sower. Do you remember that? And he's sowing seeds. Do you remember that? And he's sowing seeds and says some fell along the rocky ground, some fell, you know, the good ground. And it said that the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear the word. But as they go on their way, they are literally choked out by life's worries, riches, and what? Hedonai. Those desires, selfish pleasures, selfish lusts. Do you get it? Don't let the self, your fleshly nature, your sin nature, rule over you. If you are in Christ, you have the power to say no to that, and to say yes to God's way. If you are not saved, if you are not born again, if you have not given your heart to Jesus, you're going to spin your wheels, trying as hard as you can, and you're going to get a failing grade. because you won't have the power. But you can ask Jesus, Lord, will you fill me with your power? Will you save me? Will you help me with this sin issue? Let me tell you, God can do anything. God can take a bona fide crack addict for years and save her and sanctify her and help her to live a different life. That was our sister that went to be with the Lord. If you knew her. God can do anything. Don't let those desires choke yourself out. And if you have something to say, raise your hand and we'll give you the microphone. You guys. And by the way, just so you know, we have some folks here visiting from another state. And when I was talking with them, they said, oh, okay, we use the microphone. Now I can actually see, because sometimes they listen online, I can actually see who it is that's talking. So when I hear them on the online, I can see who it is in my mind. I said, oh, good. So see, use the microphone, guys. I know you don't like to do that, but use the microphone. Okay, here we go. Oh, no, it's too late now. Okay, so, sorry, Libby. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I have a son that is incarcerated in the state of Washington. And they have now put down a ruling that the inmates, prisoners, can receive zero biblical material from the outside.
Who would want that? Who would want to help? Sorry. That, okay. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
So all I'm asking you to do is to take just a moment, okay, and pray for all of those inmates, those that have come to the Lord as my son,
yeah,
and so many others.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Can we do that right now, George? I know it's putting you on the spot. Would you mind praying for all those prisoners? Would you mind doing that? No, you don't like the attention. Would you just grab that microphone from her? Let's just take 1 minute and pray for that right now.
Oh, dear Heavenly, gracious Father, this is such disturbing news that our society would be so callous against you and the blessings that you've placed upon us to prevent those that so need your help and your care and your love to be able to receive that gracious and loving and living word of yours. So we just ask that you place your hedge of protection around each and every one of these inmates who are being denied the ability to receive your word from the outside. Yes. And that you also take and touch the hearts of those legislators who have created these rules and turn their hearts, soften their hearts, open them up to realize that this is not the way to be, that you are what we need in this world more and more each and every single day. So I just ask that you be with them, all of them, and give us outside here the strength to fight these kind of rules, that we can make it easier, that your word would be available to each and every person, whether they be incarcerated or not. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now listen, guys, listen. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against rulers and authorities in heavenly places. It's a spiritual battle. So not only are you battling the world, you're battling your flesh and you're battling the devil. That he doesn't want that godly wisdom. The devil doesn't want that godly wisdom in you. You guys right now can get as much of it as you want. Take the time. Make the time. Battle your flesh that wants to be lazy and not want to do it, not want to go to the Bible study, and not want to take... Battle it. Say, Lord, help me to suck everything you have into me. Make it a part of my life. Listen, that selfish road, that self-centered road that causes all those fights and quarrels among you, listen to this. And I love the Living Bible here in 1 Peter 2:11. It says, dear brothers, these selfish pleasures, you know, again, dear brothers, self-centered pleasures, dear brothers, you are only visitors here, meaning this world. Meaning you're passing through. If you're a born-again believer, this is just a short stop on your way. It says, dear brothers, you're only visitors here, since your real home is in heaven. I beg you, Peter says, to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. Why is he saying that? Because they're going to hook you and suck you in. Keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not for you, for they fight against your very souls. Take it seriously. Yes, we have a question over here. Olivia, you have your mic. Thanks.
You know, in the women's Bible study this past week, we were talking about desires. And and Beth Moore was talking about how desires and pleasures and things like that are not bad. It's misplaced, and it's when we're hungering for something and we're desiring something. And when you have a hunger and a desire, you're going to meet that need. It's what you meet that need with. And, Solomon said to guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart, for it is where everything flows from. It's the wellspring of our lives. And it also says to take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, this scripture verse has been so impacting in my life. I think it saved most of my relationships. You know, we look at James sometimes in the words war and fights and quarrels and destruction, and we look at him in such big terms, but it's almost like, you know, if you've ever been under the knife and you've had surgery, you know, that knife is not a pretty object. You're like, oh, get away from me. But if that knife is going to sit there and save your life or bring your child into this world or something like that, it's beautiful. So for him to use this language, praise God, because we need that knife, because it will save our relationships. If we stop and say, why am I sitting here fighting and quarreling with my husband? It's a war that's going on in our hearts. You know, if I war with Darren, it's because he's not meeting my needs right that minute. You know, and I got to stop and say, my desires, I'm trying to fill with him and not with God. And I want to encourage you ladies, because this is...
Oh, heck no, you don't want that. But he's saying right here in verse 14, you are a friend if you do what I command. Listen, well, I know Jesus because I gave my life. I said a prayer. I serve on the team. No, you're a friend of God if your willing heart is obeying him. Not because you have to, right? I have to do it because Jesus said so. No, I'm doing it because I want to. Because that's the least I can do for him. Do you know what I'm saying? That's why we obey him. And then he says this. Listen to this. Verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. He says, instead, I have called you, same word there, phileo, friends. For everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He's saying, we're so much in common, our interests are so much in common, our concerns are so much in common, I can now call you friend. So you have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. If you choose, going back to that James verse, I don't want to be known as an adulterous person. Friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. We, you, me, us, we need to be choosing to please him over ourselves. If not, you're committing spiritual adultery against the Lord. I don't think anybody wants... You're setting yourself up as an enemy against God. That's not what I want, right? I want to be known as his friend. I may screw up, right? It says a righteous man falls seven times. The seven times he gets back up again. So listen, because there's a difference between a pig and a sheep. If a sheep falls in the mud... Pig falls back, falls in the mud. Pig's just going to say, hey, I feel right at home here. This is what I like. And I'm just going to dig right in with my little piggy self. But a sheep falls in the mud. Sheep says, oh my goodness, I fell in the mud. I need to get out of here. I need to get out. Whatever I need to do, I need to get out of this mud. That's the sheep of his pasture. That's a friend of Jesus. This friend isn't talking about when you accidentally stumble, this word, or when you accidentally fall into sin, or you give in once here, you screw up there. It's not talking about that. It's saying when there's mud there, I'm not going to live in it, and that's where my heart belongs. My heart says, no, I belong with my Savior Jesus, and I'm going to do whatever I can to be with him because he's my friend. And don't goes on to say in those verses, don't be, the world's going to hate you for it. You're not going to get appreciated for it. The world will hate you for being a friend of Jesus. Jesus says, you know what? They hated me, and they're going to hate you too if you follow Jesus. Don't expect people to applaud. But you know who's applauding in heaven? Your heavenly Father, your Savior, Jesus. Yes, Mark, before we close out. Let me bring you the mic, sorry.
Lest anyone think that that power comes from us. Jesus said in John 14:20 about the Holy Spirit, He is with you and will be in you. It is His Holy Spirit, God the Father's Holy Spirit, in us,
yes,
that gives us the power to say no,
yes,
and to say yes to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Let's end on that note. Let's pray. Father God, we want to say thank you, Lord, and we want to ask that you would do whatever it takes in our lives that we would be called your friends, Lord. That you would help our friendships grow, Lord, I know over time spent together. And so help us to spend more time with you. I want to even say cause us, but I know you won't make us. But Lord, help us to spend more time with you, more time with your people, Lord God. Help us to be not focusing on everything that's wrong and ourselves, but say thanking you for everything that's right. Thank you, Lord, for that I'm saved, that I'm breathing, that I have lungs and I'm still on this earth, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me enough that while I was yet a sinner, you died for me, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Help me not to be a friend of the world, Lord God. Help me not to commit adultery against you, Lord. We know what that is, Lord. Let us not be like that, Lord God. Let's not be your enemy. We want to be your friend. So I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you do whatever it takes to help each one of us come to you and to be called your friend. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus Christ's name.